scrolls on, on down the line, and the list goes on.
I teased, like, talking about the Ruby Soho, Ruby Riot news on the air, and then we had so many freaking super chats, I couldn't do it. I felt a little bit bad, but not that bad, Denise.
Oh, man. So what are we going to do? What's the plan?
Well, we're talking about it here because okay. We're behind the paywall now.
All right, cool. Oh, but they sent the super chats. Wow, Sean. Oof.
Yeah. I mean, they did about some of that, like, not mainly. I did miss a super chat from Alicia Ellis. Big apologies for that. She is watching right now, and she has a very good question about something that Peyton Royce had brought up. She said, I asked about whether you or Denise had heard Cassie, a.k.a. Peyton, talking about the interview with Chris Van Vliet, where she told Vince she wanted to be a single star. And she has said, in retrospect, that's probably one of her biggest mistakes because of how things happened. She wanted to test herself as a single star, and now she probably regrets that. They have been very transparent about how sad they've been about their WWE release, the Iconics have.
Wait, did she pitch that to Vince before they broke the Iconics up?
Yes. Yes, obviously. They shouldn't pitch it. She didn't pitch a breakup after they broke up.
No, I know. But what I'm trying to say is, like, what I'm saying here is, like, I thought you meant, like, she wanted to be pushed heavier as a single star, even when she was already a singles wrestler. That's what I was confused about.
No. She pitched this while they were a team.
Oh, man. Oh, I kind of feel bad because, like, she never really got a chance to show anything. And I feel like even then as the Iconics, it's like they should have kind of just kept it going until they couldn't anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that they really got all they could have out of that. That's the story of WWE, though. Come on. That's the story of WWE. They never get all they can out of somebody, but they'll do the same match 8 or 9 times in a row. I'm surprised they aren't already an Impact, to be honest with you.
I mean, I don't even know because I just kind of feel like I think that there's, and I hate to be that person that's like always send everybody to AEW, that sort of thing. But I just feel like because they need some, they do need women on there. That's the only reason where I'm like, I have a different like approach when it comes to the women. Like I do want to see more women on the AEW roster so that they can bring, you know, different levels of experience, et cetera, and all of that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't have been at Impact already.
Yeah, I think that the Impact is the best fit for them. Is it still a visa issue? No. I mean, a company can get them a visa. I'm working on a story about that too. I hate when I have to say that, but I am working on a story about the visas and like what the options are for a lot of these wrestlers. But obviously, oh boy. Joel Pearl saying Impact took away his Twitch co-stream. They're not doing Twitch anymore, Denise. Did you see that?
I saw that. You know what? I actually think that they're utilizing the YouTube membership in a positive way. I was looking at the tiers, and I don't remember everything that they listed on there because there's 2 tiers. But based on what I read from the press release here today, I actually think it's pretty smart of them, and they should have done it sooner. And I know that there are some creators that aren't necessarily all of that fulfilled with their deals that they have with Twitch and are seeing YouTube as a stronger way to make more money.
When our YouTube went away for a little while, we had so many people say, go to Twitch, go to Twitch, go to Twitch. I was like, guys, our viewership base is so much bigger on YouTube. Like it's not even close. Like if we had established ourselves on Twitch, that'd be one thing.
Right.
But to take 2,000-3,000 people that may be watching our show live and chop that into like, if we're lucky, 10%.
And the thing is that it sounds easy to click on a link and it not mattering on what, you know, what subscription service it's on, but that's not necessarily the case. I've seen that a lot. I've seen people not, you know, if you're popular on Twitch, you're popular on Twitch and not so much on YouTube and vice versa. But yeah, and it's crazy to think too, because YouTube's payment method isn't even that great.
No. Our super chats are what makes it worth it for us. Super chats are legitimately it and they help us a lot. Somebody says, weren't they waiting on their visas? That's not the way that necessarily works. Like, if they go to work for Impact, Impact can get them work visas. Like, that's just the way it is. But today, I broke news here on FightfulSelect.com. I don't have to push you guys to subscribe because you're already here. Thank you. I love you all very much. Ruby Soho, the former Ruby Riott, is expected, now I got to say expected, to come into AEW. And I was told that she was one of the few recent WWE releases that they like knew they wanted to bring in. Now, I had talked to industry insiders and talent. I have not confirmed this with Ruby. I have not confirmed this with AEW. But she has been very quiet since she got released. She did one interview. She did it with Dennis Farrell and Lars of Rancid and Demetri Young. They have a great show called The Wrestling Perspective Podcast. Petey Williams, just full of talent on that show. But no signings, no appearances. A promoter told me that they reached out to book her, and they were told that she was not accepting bookings. That's what that promoter was told. Don't know if that's necessarily the case. Don't know the motivation behind that. I think she is a fantastic get for AEW.
I was just mentioning the fact that they need more women that could bring a certain experience level. And she is definitely somebody that I think could benefit the women's division on AEW so much. And not only that, the number one thing that I hear, and I'm sure you've heard a bunch of times, is that she's genuinely like the nicest person ever. And I mean, I haven't met her, so I can't add to that. But based on the stories that I've heard about her character, it seems that she has friends everywhere. It seems that she's loved everywhere. And the way I see it, you do good things for people, you get good things in return. So you know what? I'm not surprised whatsoever. When I saw the Fightful Select report, I was not surprised whatsoever to see her name on there.
So occasionally, wrestlers who are too ornery to pay for the paywall, they'll message me and they'll go, hey, who are you talking about? And I mentioned Ruby, and like a top star outside of WWE said, fuck yeah, she should have never been released. She's great. She's going to kill it. I had a half dozen of the girls in WWE putting over Ruby Riott, how good she was to work with, how she would always try to make them look as good as possible, even if she was put in like a 2-minute match that was like a job match. That's not easy to do,
Sean. Like when you're not getting the spotlight and you're seeing everybody else get the spotlight, I'm sure it must have been, yeah. I mean, if it were me, I'd be frustrated, man. Like, I don't know how nice I'd be able to be to everybody else when they're all getting everything that I want, you know? So kudos to her. It seems like she's finally getting some of those rewards that, you know, you put the energy out there, you get it back.
A selfless person, easy to work with. A good worker. Somebody asked, turn on super chats for List Goes On. We don't do super chats and List Goes On. You all already paying for Fightful Select. So if there's something worth reading, we'll do it here. Like, you all don't got to pay us any extra. But Alicia does say, have you decided on what to do about super chats since you have so many? What was that? Is the anonymous Raw general manager messaging you?
Well, sorry, I'm a very popular person, Sean. My DMs were blowing up, so I closed down the app. My apologies. Oh, wow. I didn't realize I had it open.
I've thought about doing like the WrestleTalk method where it's like $5 or more gets read on the air and maybe less than that is shown on the screen. I don't know. Quite frankly, if you guys are going to pay us to hang around for an extra 10 or 12 minutes, I'm okay with that. Denise will get paid more.
I'm okay with that, too. I ain't going to complain. I ain't going to complain. Never mind. I'll bring it up towards the end of the podcast. I did have a question for you.
Go ahead.
But it's not related to our topic, though. Does it matter?
That's okay. We talked about Ruby. She's expected to come in, but you know what? Braun was also expected, and he ain't. So
I was going to say, what the hell are we doing for SummerSlam? What's the post show? What's going to happen, Sean?
Okay,
haven't told me anything.
So here's the plan, Denise. The plan is to have Jeremy here remotely run the StreamYard. Okay. So he and somebody else will be here, and they'll send us links. And if we are somewhere, whether it be together or separately with a stable internet connection, we can join at certain times or intermittently, maybe for the whole thing if we're lucky. That way we can do it there. If not, okay, we've got a team here remotely that can do that. I'll have to figure something else out for All Out. I think it'll probably be Robert and Alex because we can't do that because we're going to be at the scrum. I am bringing a tripod this time, Denise. But yeah, I think we're going to have Jeremy run it and he'll send us the link. I think StreamYard's got an app we can join.
There is an app. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a good one though. It's instead of broadcast, it says broadcast.
Well, really? I never noticed that. Well, I had to use the app the day that my internet crashed and I had no choice but to log on through my phone. Okay. Got it. I understand.
Yes. So it looks like that's how we're going to do things. Obviously, guys, you're still going to get backstage news. I'm going to feed it to Jeremy or Alex or whoever's on the damn show. So make sure you guys tune in for that. And then I'm flying back that next afternoon to do like NXT and do like the presser and all that stuff that's going to probably happen afterwards, assuming they do one. But
man, I got to wake up early and drive back home. I just realized it. Lovely.
Oh, yeah. Because they're doing NXT the next day.
Yeah.
My God.
I had to drive home for that.
Well, guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you all. You all have been so generous to us. Spread the word of Fightful Select. It's one thing for me to tell everybody to subscribe, but it's another if you all tell people. Gregory says, what do you all think of Everrise being put into a pretty high-profile match on AEW? I think it's smart. They're obviously going to lose. It's going to highlight Daniel Garcia, who is an amazing talent. He's going to be very, very special. And Everrise are going to get an opportunity to wrestle in front of an audience that maybe they haven't been exposed to, but they have been exposed to another audience pretty well. I think it makes sense as a one-off, Denise.
This is their chance to show what they hadn't shown before.
Guys, thank you all so much. Denise, thank you so much for filling in for Jimmy on a few hours' notice.
Like 2 hours' notice, Sean. I was asleep when you messaged me, and I was like,
Until next time, guys, we're out.